a nice breakfast. Let us start to study. How do we fulfill the true family ideal? In the family, there are parents and children, and the grandparents. God is in the subject position and man is in the object position. And vertically, God is our subject and man is the object. And horizontally, man is the object, woman is the object partner. So, to explain this, God is the subject partner, and the husband in the subject position unites with God, the subject, and then completes the wife. The wife in the object position unites with her husband, the subject, and completes the husband. Husband unites with God. Then he can complete the wife. And when the wife unites with her husband, helping him to become a good husband and a good son in front of God, then she can complete the husband. When the husband can understand that his wife is God's daughter, God's wife. We were all born as somebody's sons and daughters. And they grow and perfect by attending their own parents. Therefore, the husband must attend his wife as he attends his mother, and the wife must attend her husband as she attends her father. This is how they perfect each other through their lives. This way, they become a true couple that resembles God, who is perfect, and they become true parents. This husband and wife were born as somebody's son and daughter. And they grew up attending their own parents. The man grew up attending his own parents, and the wife grew up attending her own parents. So the husband must attend his wife as he attends his mother, and the wife attends her husband as she attends her father. This is how they can perfect each other, by attending each other. By attending each other, they can become true sons and daughters of God and can complete each other as true husband and wife. This is the age of attendance. Not only to attend God, but attend the beings that come from God. Attend our parents, and then attend our wife and our husband. fulfillment of brothers and sisters ideal. The family, the parents are the subject partner and the children are the object partner. And then here it says that the parents are the subject partner and the elder brother is the subject partner and the younger brother is the object partner. They have give and take, unite. What this means is the elder brother that is in the subject position unites with the parents, the subject, and completes the younger brother. The younger brother in the object position unites with his elder brother, the subject, and completes his elder brother. The elder brother and younger brother are both born as part of the parents. They're born from the parents. Therefore, the elder brother should attend the younger brother as he attends the parents. And the younger brother should attend the elder brother as he attends his parents. This is how they perfect each other through their lives. This is the way they become true children resembling their parents and become true brothers and true sisters. This means both the ideal of the husband and wife, the ideal of brothers and sisters, is to attend each other, perfect each other through that. True husband and wife are unchangeable. The wife and in Father's words, Father says that when we resemble each other, when we attend each other, we should attend them as we attend to parents. Originally, in this original world, Adam and Eve were supposed to be the true parents. So our parents would be perfected beings with true love. But because we haven't been able to have this, when we attend our husband, we should attend our husband as we attend true father. When we attend our wife as we attend true mother. Children grow up, and we are born from our parents. When we grow up, we become husband and wife, and when we have children, we become parents again. We have a personal responsibility to grow, to mature, to receive the blessing, become husband and wife, and then we have the responsibility to mature once more as true parents, to completely resemble God. Children are unchangeable. You cannot change your children, you cannot change your parents, and originally you will not be able to change your husband and wife. Even if your children are big troublemakers, you cannot change your child. Or even if your parents are parents that are hard to be proud of, you can't be so proud of them in front of the earth, but still they are your parents. You cannot change that. Adam and Eve were supposed to grow to be true husband and wife and true parents, establishing three generations. An unfold God's culture of Shimjung throughout the world. God is first generation, the husband, wife are second generation, and the children are third generation. And when those children grow up and become parents themselves, then Adam and Eve would become the grandparents. So these three generations, God's idea of three generations can be then completely substantiated when there are three substantial generations, because God does not have a form. So when God can enter into Adam and Eve as one body, and then the grandparents, or they can completely resemble God, then the three generations can be eternal and God's ideal can be completely substantiated. Seen people in the church, in the blessed families, that even though they receive the blessing, they divorce. And to think that you can divorce and receive the blessing again is a mistaken thought. Don't think centering on yourself. The blessing is absolute. You cannot break this blessing. Our motivation has to be God and God's word. Other than that, then you shouldn't have those kind of motivations centering on yourself. That's not right set of values. So our leaders here, Blessed Central Families, we must become perfected beings. So we shouldn't look horizontally from our own point of view, but we should look vertically from God's point of view and have a God's viewpoint centering on God's words. The words guide me and help me become a mature being that God wants me to be. So always the center of that value is God and true parents. True parents is something that cannot be changed. Parents cannot be changed. And true husband and wife cannot be changed. If you receive the blessing, then this continues to the eternal world. When we were getting engaged, it was such a serious time. My father trained us in so many different ways, and after this engagement, Father gave us a little time and said that if you don't want to go through with this, then come out. Because once I give you the blessing in my prayer, then this relationship will go for eternity. This holy prayer was the engagement to bind these two for eternity. When the Blessed Central Families go to spirit world, that couple is bound together forever. The way of re-blessing was not God's original plan, and it's not allowed actually, but because of true parents' conditions, it opened a way for that. But this is not God's will originally. Place I came, there was a 83-year-old grandfather that received a blessing. He was a his wife was a then this grandfather died, and his wife was still alive, and I asked if she misses her husband, and she kind of grinned, and she said that he comes to me every night, and he comes as a young 20-year-old man of his 20s. We have to be so grateful for this time of blessing, to be bound for eternity. If there has been separation beforehand, it's because we have not been able to live according to God's will, God's word. The fundamental laws of heaven and earth are the laws governing the parent and child relationship. The purpose of life is to fulfill the three great blessings, become object of goodness that return joy to God. And so through the words we go before true parents and our families receive the blessing. We are born as people in God's true parents, true family, true parents, flesh and blood. So what we see, what we say, what we do in our life should be representing true parents' family. We have to wear glasses from now. What kind of glasses? We have to use glasses of heart. Shimjung glasses. To have a life of attendance to God. Do not have humanistic thinking. But that when we are loving people, when we are talking to somebody, we can see them from God's viewpoint and listen to them and respect them as because God dwells inside of them. people live the life they live because they don't understand God. So we have the responsibility to teach people about God. We have to understand about how we should live our lives. Just as true parents are the substantiation of the Word, and they show us how to live Heaven's way, we must also become the substantiation of the Word and show people how to live Heaven's way through our own lives. The perfection of man is the perfection of Shimjung. We've talked about that a lot. This is the essential essence of God. Our responsibility is to perfect the Shimjung. This is how we perfect the spirit body, perfect the four great realms of heart, the heart of the children, the brothers and sisters, heart of husband and wife, and heart of parents. And in order to complete these four great realms of heart, we need a partner. We need an object partner. We need children. In order to understand the parent's heart, we need a husband or wife. In order to really understand the husband's heart, we understand these hearts through our objects. God too. If God is only by himself, he doesn't have any value. But because of his objects of love, then he can inherit all of God's content to his object partners. All of his Shimjung, all of his characteristics. As the sons and daughters, we must raise our standard to be God's good object partners. How? By resembling God through practicing God's words in our life. If your children are completely different from the parents, if the will of the children is different from the parents, then that is not right. If you think that God's situation is his situation, I'm going to take care of my own business, I don't have anything to do with God's business, then no matter how long you live, for 1,000 years, or you cannot resemble God if you think that way. The core of Shimjung is the way of Shimjung is true love. True love means to live for the sake of others. That children live for the sake of their parents, parents live for the sake of their children, and they live for the sake of the whole. The basic unit of heaven is the family, the three great kingships, the three great subject thought, and the three great object thought. You say subject, you are a subject because of your object. So, the parents become teachers and they become the owners. In order to become true parents, they need true children. In order to become a true teacher, you need true disciples. In order to become true owner, you need true people. It's not enough to just be a teacher with position, but you need to raise true disciples, and then you can become a true teacher. This is the basic unit of heaven, and this is how fulfilling the four-position foundation can fulfill the three great kingships. God's will is the purpose of creation, the fulfillment of three great blessings, the four-position foundation. And Matthew said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven shall enter into heaven." The people that do God's will go to heaven. But in order to fulfill the will, this cannot be an abstract ideal. This has to become very specific so that we can complete what the will is. True parents must teach this will, about this will, very specifically. Otherwise, fallen man cannot complete God's will or be relieved from their state. The laws governing the universe is the laws governing the parents and children. We must become people of Shimjung. So must perfect the four great realms of heart. We must perfect our portion of responsibility. Through a lifestyle of living for the sake of others. Not just on one plane, but on many planes, up and down, up and down, right and left, front and behind. A family is not just one generation, but is three generations, at least. A family is the basic unit of heaven. And to make this family is God's will. For God's will is the purpose of creation, which is to fulfill the three great blessings, establish the four-position foundation. In order to fulfill the four-position foundation, you cannot just have one son or just one daughter. You need both sons and daughters. Why? Because in order to fulfill God's four great realms of heart, then we need to experience the heart of raising a daughter, the part of raising a son. What if you only had 3 sons and couldn't have a daughter? There is a difference in the heart of the parents that have raised only sons and have raised a daughter. There is a difference between parents that raise sons and parents that raise daughters. When the parents have children, they're raising their children. They're not raising their own children, but they're raising God's children in God's position instead of God, kind of like the nanny. The parents have to raise their children to love and respect God. When you receive a daughter-in-law to your family, your son gets married. That daughter-in-law is not somebody else's daughter, but you should take care of that daughter and think of her as your own flesh and blood. And think of how the parents of this child raised this child. What kind of heart? If you receive a son-in-law, that's not somebody else's child, but you should think of that child as your own child, your own son. Which do you think is more important, daughters or sons? Why? No matter how amazing the daughter may be, raise your son and daughter, and then you receive a daughter-in-law or a son-in-law, but that daughter-in-law didn't go to middle school, and will you reject that girl just because of that? There are some people that went to school, some people that didn't go to school in this world. So we shouldn't just look at our own children and give them an opportunity to receive education. But we should look at all of the children of the world and give them an opportunity to receive education. So, not only is my child God's child, or my child, but looking from the point of God's view, all children are born from God. And they are raised. And they grow up. If you cannot have children, you receive an offering child. The Father said that when you die and go to the spirit world, are you still going to hold on to your sons and daughters? When you die and go to the spirit world, all people come back to God as God's children. And so we are like brothers and sisters. There are brothers and sisters that have gone to the spirit world first and that go later. Okay? So if you are not prepared for this and then you die and you go to the spirit world, then you'll be so shocked. But if we learn this on earth, then when we die, we can understand the situation. I'm teaching you because you do not know. If you don't know the principle, and you live your life, then make a lot of mistakes, it's because you do not know the principle. You have to stand up straight. Let's say that there is somebody that has spiritual power from mediating with spirit world and can revive people that have once died. But is this person living with God's absolute standards? Are they living with standard of true parents? What kind of words are they speaking? Are their words the absolute standard because they can perform miracles? We need to know what is right, what is wrong, what is true, what is false. God's words are true through true parents. They are absolute. There will be a time when many spiritual phenomena will happen. We have to have a clear standard of values. This is the process and standard for the determination of original value. Definition of value, all beings are in a relationship of subject and object. The subject has a desire towards the object, and the object satisfies that desire of the subject. And so the object must have the content and quality to satisfy the subject. When the husband has desire from the object, desire. Mm-hmm. When the subject has a desire, the object shouldn't do something else, but should be keen to the desires of the subject so that they can satisfy that desire. And this is the value of the object. The degree of the satisfaction, the ability to satisfy the subject's desires, determines the value. And determining value from the viewpoint of the purpose, its purpose, say you have a knife. If the knife is used by a skilled surgeon to save somebody's life, then that knife has infinite value. Yet, if somebody uses this to stab somebody and kill them, then this knife has no value. It's very bad, used in a very bad way. So it determines, the value of the knife is determined by who uses it, for what purpose. Say you have a white piece of paper, and you use that paper to record to send a letter to somebody in your family to keep the family together and record some very important documents or the family record, then that paper has a lot of value. Yet, if you use that same paper to send a threatening letter to somebody, then that paper loses its value. If you use a house, and inside that house, the external looks the same on the external viewpoint, but in the inside, if that house is used for people to gather and overthrow the government, or if it's used for people to gather and pray there and plan to help other people, then that same house has different value. People look the same on the outside, but what is their content? What is the content of that person? What kind of purpose do they live their life for? How much do they resemble God? Resembling God's characteristics of absolute sex and God's characteristics. There are two pots. One is made out of stone, and one is made out of gold. But the value of that pot determines actually by what it holds. If that golden pot holds rotten garbage, then it would only spread a bad smell and disease to its surroundings. But if that rock pot contained good food or something or medicine, then that pot has value. When whatever you are doing, when you are going someplace, you have to look at yourself and see what your motivation is, why you're going there. Where is the center of my heart? What is the motivation of my life? We should always look at ourselves. Centering on the purpose, the subject and object, give and take, the mind and body, or subject and object. So what is our purpose that we are living our life with? In the family, as a filial child, in the nation, as a patriot, the world, as a world, you want to be a saint. In the cosmos, you want to be a heavenly son and daughter. We have to fulfill the dutiful family way during our life. To become a heavenly son and daughter means that you are become a physician, fulfilling the filial piety in your family, patriot in your nation, saint in the world. When you have this content, and you are a filial son and daughter before God. To fulfill the dutiful family way. So, it's not just one person becomes a holy saint or a holy heavenly son and daughter, but a family of heavenly sons and daughters. That the parents, the husband and wife, the children, that everybody in that family becomes a heavenly son and daughter. The husband and wife and the children, everybody becomes a heavenly son and daughter. This is how we can become people and our family can resemble God. Where is the purpose of our life? What is our motivation of our life? Our motivations are these motivations. To become a filial son, daughter in my family, patriot in the nation. When this person dies, the people of the world will, people of their nation will pray for this person. They die. Uphold this person. When you become a saint, the people of the world will remember you and uphold you. People that are all filial sons and daughters, patriots and saints all at the same time, and then do work for God's will, fulfilling God's desires, deepest desires. These people are called heavenly sons and daughters. Determining the value of the original ideal of creation. The original value of an entity is determined through the mutual relationship between the purpose of the entity according to God's ideal of creation and people's original desire to treasure it and bring out its worth. Hence, when it finds its true value when it participates as an object partner in a God-centered four-position foundation by relating with a person through give-and-take action and by their union becoming the third object partner to God. When a person has give and take with an entity and they have give and take becoming God's third object partner, this becomes a God-centered four-position foundation with, and the value of this entity is determined. It's given absolute value when it enters into a God-centered four-position foundation. The standard of original value. Because the center of the four-position foundation is God. It is God who sets the standard for its value. Since God is absolute, the original value of an object partner determined in relation to this standard must also be absolute. God is the center of the four-position foundation. So all relations and all beings in relation to God acquire absolute value in the four-position foundation. So is it man that determines the value of things? No. Of course we have the desire to pursue things. But can man himself decide his own original value? Man's heart changes so much throughout the day. It's different. Man's heart can be different from at night than it was in the morning. So, leaders, church leaders, or scholars, or presidents can't determine the value of something. There can... an example is there are Zhang Mengzhu, who was a patriot in Goryeo, but he was a traitor of Joseon, and Yi Sun-shin was a patriot of Korea but an enemy to Japan, and Ito Hirobumi was a patriot for Japan but an enemy to Korea. Then who decides the absolute standard of value? It is only true parents who come as the substantiation of God, resembling God completely, then they can set the standard, the absolute standard of the principle. Through So they can set the standard. The Jewish people were following the Judaic law, but Jesus came and said that what they are believing, some parts were wrong, and that they have to fix their life of faith. So who determines the value of the law? Is it the Jewish leaders, or should they have listened to Jesus? No matter if all man is against something, if it is God's will given through the Messiah, then that is the true standard. The man doesn't set the absolute standard, but if man is to his highest value has to do that in the position of completely resembling God, having the same heart of God, the same ideals of God, the same thinking as God, and the same lifestyle as God. So who is that? True parents. We need to live our lives to fulfill true parents' words and understand the value of true parents' words. True parents' words will come to pass. They are not just words were said vainly. God, true parents give these words because they know the value of these words given by God. Then the people listening to these words must also know the value of these words that are being given. But we have been listening to these words and we have been thinking, oh, these are just ideal words of heaven, but the reality is so different. This is way over our reality. But when we can realize that these words are given to us in this age because we need them, that God has a purpose to give us these words now. That's why we need to have absolute faith, absolute love, and absolute lineage. Why is that? This is not so that a true father can be a dictator, but so that can govern us with love, and that we can live in a world of love. True parents came to this earth have done all of the providence together with God with absolute faith, absolute love, and absolute obedience. God has done this, true parents have done this. And this should be our lifestyle too. original emotion, intellect, and will, and original beauty, truth, and goodness. We've learned about intellect, emotion, and beauty. And in textbooks before, we learned about these aspects as being products of man's mind. But we have learned that these are original parts of God. God has internal nature and internal external nature. And God's external form. So all things are made from God's intellect, emotion, and will, centering on God's Shimjung. And when man inherits God's Shimjung, God's intellect, emotion, and will, then man pursues the value of true beauty, original beauty, original truth, and original goodness. This is inside of God. It's been inside of God. The position of not falling before the fall. We would receive God's heart and pursue original beauty, truth, and goodness. Becoming beings of original emotion, original intellect, and original will. This is how we become people of true character. The human mind has three faculties: emotion, intellect, and will. When the body responds to the mind's emotion, intellect, and will, its actions pursue the values of beauty, truth, and goodness, respectively. God is the subject partner to the human mind, hence he is also the subject partner to human emotion, intellect, and will. Desiring to realize his original value, a person responds to the emotion, intellect, and will of God through his mind, and acts accordingly through his body, thereby manifesting the values of original beauty, original truth, and original goodness. Just have to read this over and over again, and this is how we can explain to people. Love and beauty, good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness. Love and beauty are within God. Good is in God, but evil is not from God. Good, evil is from the fall. So love and beauty are in a partner relationship, but good and evil are not in a partner relationship. What is love? Love is the emotional force that the subject partner gives the object partner. And when the object partner returns this love, this force to the subject, it is in the form of beauty. When two entities, discrete manifestations of God's dual characteristics, form a common base and seek to unite as a third object partner to God, and establish a four-position foundation, they will engage in give and take action. In accomplishing this, the emotional force that the subject partner gives to the object partner is called love, and the emotional force that the object partner gives to the subject partner is called beauty. There are different types of love. There's parental love, conjugal love, children's love. There's parents' love, conjugal love, children's love. And then the types of beauty that return to the subject are in the form of loyalty. Chung. The subject is God. And filial piety, Hyo, the subject is the parents. And to be faithful partner, the Yeol, this is when the subjugate object partner. It's to become a faithful husband and a virtuous wife. So when God's dual characteristics manifest into discrete manifestations, these two entities form a common base and seek to unite as the third object partner in God, establishing a four-position foundation. Then they'll engage in give and take action, giving and receiving love and beauty. And this will become good stimulation and will become joy. Good and evil. When subject and object form a four-position foundation centering on God, then the act or result is called good when it fulfills God's purpose of creation. This takes place when subject and object partners unite through the harmonious and spirited give and take of love and beauty, become the third object partner to God, and form the four-position foundation. When the subject and object have give and take of love and beauty, become the third object partner to God, then their acts become good. But when the actions of the people pursues evil, then they are doing unrighteous. They are unrighteous. So righteousness refers to that quality in a person which leads him to pursue goodness and further its purpose. And unrighteousness refers to that quality in a person which leads him to pursue evil and further its satanic purpose. You call the quality to pursue goodness, righteousness, and the quality to pursue evil, unrighteousness. So, when you are pursuing good, you are in righteous state. But when you are pursuing a bad purpose, then your actions in that process are being unrighteous. So, it depends. Whether you are righteous or unrighteous depends on your motivation. Who is the center? What is your purpose? Is it God or Satan? Your center should always be God, true parents, and true parents' words. Our motivation should not be ourself. The process of the creation of the universe and its growing period. God, the process of the creation of the universe. 6 days in the Bible. Genesis. God said, there be light and darkness. And the second day, to have the waters above and the waters below. To have the ocean, land, and plants, sun, moon, and stars, fish, birds, and the mammals. And then human beings. And science, there was the non-water era, gas, the water era. Then the ocean, land, and plants, animals, and human beings. 6 stages of creation. When the Bible says one day, it's not talking about one day in terms of 24 hours, but in terms of 6 periods, 1 period, 6 ordered periods of creation. One day is not 24 hours. The 6 days means the 6 ordered periods of creation. In Peter, 2 Peter, verse 3, verse 8, it says that one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like one day. The growing period for the creation. Evidence for the existence of the growing period. You can see from the process of creation that there was a period, a growing period for the creation. If man had grown to reach perfection, then there could be no fall. But to see that there was a human fall, you can see that Adam and Eve were not complete yet. They were still going through their growing period. Seen from the Bible, it says, became night, evening, became morning the first day. Why would he describe the first day to be overnight? This is because of the maturation period. And seen from the human portion of responsibility, it's not complete. It is still incomplete. It's how we can see that man has to go through a growing period. There are 3 ordered stages of the growing period. Genesis 1:5 says, became evening, then morning, the first day. That all things must go through period of night, growing period. So God creates, these creations must go through the formation, growth, completion process to reach perfection. And then each of these periods is divided into three. Again, the formation stage of the formation period, the growth stage of the formation period, the completion stage of the formation period, and so on. Well, creation perfects according to the laws of nature, of autonomy, government, governance of the principle. This is how creation perfects itself. But human beings must not only grow through the autonomy and governance of the principle, but must also fulfill its human portion of responsibility. We have the responsibility to create our character. While we are in the growing period, the period of indirect dominion, the power of the principle, this is the realm of the dominion based on accomplishments through the principle, where we must fulfill our portion of responsibility. This is the time when we become people of character, we're man of instinct plus man of character, so that we can have the right to govern all things that God created. Why did God give us human portion responsibility? The completion of God's will is absolute. It is but God cannot fulfill this alone. He can only do this when God works together with humankind, when humankind fulfills his responsibility. This can be the completion of God's will. So no matter how small the human portion of responsibility is, unless humans fulfill their portion of responsibility, this number cannot become 100% fulfilled. God gave us portion of responsibility so that we could create our own character. God gave us a third blessing to have dominion over all things. In order to have dominion over all things, we have to have an element of creating those things. Create what? We have to create something. So God had us create our own character. So, to create our own character. God doesn't do this for us. But this is our responsibility to create our own life, our own character. Then we can become the second creator. We can have the right to be God's child, the right to govern creation as an owner of dominion, and take part in the creation process. This growing period is the indirect dominion realm. Why? We have to have the creativeness of creating our own character in order to resemble God. This is why we have the growing period. When we perfect ourselves in this growing period, then we can enter the realm of God's total love. Have God's direct dominion, the dominion of true love. Man has to become the creator and have creativeness. God can't touch that. God doesn't do it for you. You have to resemble God on your own. That is why God doesn't relate to you or doesn't govern you directly. Become perfected, then God can directly govern you through heart. Adam and Eve become, when Adam and Eve die, when Adam and Eve become God's body, then the children from Adam and Eve inherit from God. When Adam and Eve have their own children, the parents can't directly govern their children. This is the responsibility of the sons and daughters to resemble the parents. The parents can't do it for the children. When the children fulfill their portion of responsibility and resemble the parents, then there can be governance through love, direct dominion. In the after perfection, there is no condition which Satan can touch. This is what we have to. Experience directly in our life. We must become true creators ourselves. In the Garden of Eden, archangels were to take care of Adam and Eve, and the restored position of the archangel is the position of Blessed Central Families. We must take care of the true children. So the reason for human responsibility, God, as the creator of human beings, has the right to govern human beings. Human beings need to create all things to receive the right to become God's child and have dominion over the creation. But human beings don't have the power to create all things. Accordingly, human beings are meant to inherit the creative nature of God and participate in God's great work of creation. God intends human beings to earn ownership and become worthy to rule over the creation as creators in their own right. Then, how can a human character be created? Human character can be created and perfected when a person takes dominion over oneself and one's ego, according to God's words, by fulfilling the 5% human responsibility along with God's 95% responsibility. Have dominion over oneself and absolute sex by believing and practicing God's words. This is the reason God gave responsibility to human beings. We must read God's words and fulfill the foundation of absolute sex. And on that foundation, the realm of liberation can be completed. The liberation realm of responsibility can complete it on the foundation of absolute sex. This is to substantiate the ideal of absolute sex. Do you understand the portion of responsibility? There is only one true parent who come as substantiation of God. They fulfill the personal responsibility. Please gather here by 10:25. Thank you.